Time now in our pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Brent, last week for three quarters was about as much fun as I've had announcing a game. That was back and forth and tight and two good teams playing pretty well. And then the fourth quarter comes. To me, though, you weren't that far off from playing with a lead most of the game. And if you're playing with a lead, probably winning that game. A drop pass, a deflected pass. Within an eyelash of getting a hit on a quarterback in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden they get a first down and end up scoring. A little bit off doesn't make it any easier to take, though, does it?
No. I mean, it's probably more frustrating looking back where, you know, you look at the final score being, you know, losing by three scores. It doesn't really reflect what the game was, and truly felt like we should have been up at half. We had the pick six, which, you know, Brandon's a risk taker, and he threw one right to the kid. I think he just misread it. And, you know, when you look at it with 6 minutes to go in the first half, you take the pick six out, we're up 17-10 with the ball with 6 minutes to go going down to take a two-score lead. And that was kind of the goal, to get up on them. Like, we just could never get a lead and put the pressure back on them. But then, you know, they did a nice job. They extended a drive and scored before half. And it just, we had a lot of self-inflicted issues, drop passes, you know, some penalties at very costly times, and really came back to bite us.
One of Brandon Ault's strong points is being able to release a ball from a lot of different spots. Credit Mankato for all the deflected passes, or was he dropping down sidearm a little too much?
I give him some credit. I mean, they did some good things, and Brandon, obviously, I mean, we can't throw the ball 61 times either. I mean, that's just a true fact. I mean, if we do that, we're not going to win a lot of college football games, and we were able to run the ball a little more effectively. I think Brandon, with all our RPO schemes, maybe chucked it around a little bit too much and need to hand the ball off a few more times. But yeah, they got some big, tall line kids and twisted in his face a couple times where they got deflections. And I'll still take number 10 the vast majority of the time. And I think, again, you look at the first half. I mean, we had upwards of 10 drops in the first half, which, I mean, I'm not saying they're all easy, but I've seen those guys make those plays repeatedly in practice. So kind of snowballed on us a little bit. I think the confidence got cracked, and maybe the moment got a little bit big on some kids. But it was a great learning experience. We've been off for a while, and I'm pretty sure they'll be hungry to get back at it.
How does the timing of a drop make things worse?
I mean, it just seemed like they were always on possession and 10 instead of being, you know, a lot of those were underneath routes where we would have been second down and two or three, or maybe even a first down on some of those. I know one in the second half, we were down by 14. I mean, it was a touchdown and, you know, got away from us. And so those are drive killers, or really put you behind the sticks. So instead of lining up and, you know, second down and short and being able to maybe take the top off on a play action or just simply hand it off to extend a drive, you know, we're second down and long, third down and long, and all of a sudden punting three and out with, you know, 30 seconds off the clock.
Onto the defense, just being a titch off. There were a lot of plays where it seemed like Josh Valet and maybe Gabe, or Josh Valet and somebody else, is within an eyelash of getting a hit on a quarterback, maybe getting a sack, maybe getting a deflection, and boom, all of a sudden it's a first down for them. Can you scheme pressure to be a step quicker?
You know, I think give credit to Mankato. They did a really nice job. They did a lot of things that we hadn't seen on film. And the crazy thing about, you look at the game, you know, from our perspective, is 75, when we took 84 snaps, I guess, we held them on 74 plays to like 200 yards, like 3 yards per play. Which, if you'd have told me that going into it, I'm like, oh, we won the game. You can't give up 300 or 270 on the other, you know, 10 plays. That's what it gets down to. So big plays hurt us, you know, tackling on the perimeter, stuff like that, just some stuff that, you know, just some alignment. We had a lot of young guys, you know, Jake West going down. We had to shuffle some different guys in the secondary, and it cost us. I think our youthfulness cost us a little bit, but we got good football players. I mean, those kids were embarrassed when they watched the film, and especially knowing when we were lined up correctly, executing our job, that we could handle them, you know, and I was worried about our front seven just matched up, and that wasn't the case. We were able to handle the interior run. It was more off tackle stuff or perimeter plays. So they'll bounce back, and, you know, you're right, like being off in coverage by a step, if you have that coverage, the D-line gets home. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of things, and all of a sudden you have good coverage and you don't get home. These guys are covering forever. So it's a team deal, and we all need to do a little bit better, and we can.
You haven't always had a nose guard that can consistently get pressure up the middle. How's your defense better when you're getting pressure from Josh and from the edge?
Well, having a good nose tackle is like a security blanket. I mean, those guys are hard to find, but he's a really, really good one. I thought really all the interior guys played really hard. Sammy Bird, I thought Jamie Moe had his best game of the year. Elijah Brown and, you know, DJ McRae are coming along with young guys as well. And so I was happy with those guys. And really, our edge guys played pretty darn well, too. I thought Zolli and Wadsworth had a really nice game. And it's just now putting it all together and getting a cohesive group. Because Schultz, I'm like, we just, whatever, injuries, COVID, whatever, we just have not had the same guys on the field together through a course of week of practice and, you know, a game. So hopefully that trend will end soon here, hopefully this weekend on homecoming.
More with Coach Bolte when we come back. Pregame show continues on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. You ended up giving up a mess of yards on the ground. Defensively, they were on the field for 40 minutes. It's not a good recipe for success, is it?
No. I mean, it's different. I mean, we look at the amount of plays that you're getting is one thing. I mean, we were virtually even between us and them in terms of the plays. So sometimes that stat can be somewhat misleading. I've always been like, we're probably never going to win the time of possession, you know, consistently. I mean, we got to run the ball, like I said before, but I'm okay with it being 35-25 or, you know, 33-27, as long as the plays are close. But if you're out there, yeah, for that duration and self-inflicted, I mean, how many penalties were extensions that extended drives, you know, being scoring drives, you know, roughing the punter we had, you know, even on base stuff where we'd had really good field position, you know, in the second half, we'd had the ball and interception at the 50, we got a penalty on the return, end up being back at the 20. You know, we end up putting on that drive from the, you know, midfield. Well, you take those 25 yards, you're kicking a field goal or having an opportunity to go for it on fourth. So as a collective group, that was an issue. And yeah, giving up the rush yards is, it goes back to being disciplined, and we need to get better. That's one of our staples of our defense, and we need to get back to the basics of fitting the run and being physical with the 11 guys out there.
One loss does not preclude you from getting to the NCAA playoffs. Has that been the message of the team, and what's the reaction been from the guys?
You know, the guys, I think, were, again, just frustrated the way that we played, in the, particularly for, again, a quarter-ish. It's kind of been our MO all year, to be honest with you. We play good fundamental football for 2.5 to 3 quarters, and then we have 1 quarter of bad football. And that needs to stop. You need to be able to, you know, play 4 quarters. And, yeah, certainly the talk around here is still we're shooting to be playoffs and all that, but as I always say, it's a product of daily habits. You got to go out and prepare. You got to go take care of business each and every day. And you know, the dominoes will fall later on, but it's the course of the week that we got to get better. So it all comes down to practice.
On to Augie. They are 3-0. Haven't played a team with a winning record yet. It's a team that's a little confusing to me. What's the film shown of their body work so far?
They're a good football team. They're deserving of, I think, honestly, right now, them and Mankato are pretty similar. I'd say maybe Augie's defense is maybe a step ahead. They got a lot of returning guys. They're very, very gifted up front on their defensive line. Probably the best collective group of guys that I've seen working together and have a lot of experience. So they're really good and talented on the defense. They fit well and play really well together. Offensively, they return a ton of guys. I mean, their O-line's big and physical. They got a mammoth group of guys that a lot of those guys have played, you know, when they're in their playoff run in 19. So their veteran group, you'd expect a veteran group like that has playoff experience to be solid. And yeah, they haven't been tested as much. They certainly, you know, I'm sure they remember the 19 game, so a little motivation for them too. But we're excited. Like, we match up, in my opinion, well against them, you know, and we're just going to go out and let the chips fall where they may.
A lot of teams will schedule the so-called cupcake on homecoming for a reason. You guys haven't done that. You're able to pick which game you want for homecoming. You've won 10 straight. How has jumping into that lake kind of taken on a life of its own?
You know, it started before I got here, which, you know, that was, I don't know who created it. I don't know all the backstory, to be honest with you, but it's something that's really come to life. It's regionally, nationally known now that, you know, when we win, we get in there. And when I got that coaching job, one alum said something to me. He's like, oh, you know, we win these games. Why don't we schedule somebody better? And I was like, you're right. Why don't we? So, you know, it would be easier, yeah, for the fan base if we were playing somebody not as good. But I think our kids are up for it. It brings a lot of people back. You get the energy from the crowd. So, you know, picking a good team to play on a homecoming game, why wouldn't you? And use that as your advantage and maybe get them a little bit off their game too. So, but getting in that lake, it's different, Schulte. It's nice to have it early in the year, that's for sure. But we're excited. We're excited to get back out there, kind of put last week behind us and play another good football team here at the Chet.
Best of luck.
Appreciate it.
Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.